You're listening to the Ready, Set, Cloud podcast, a show about trending and difficult topics in serverless and in the cloud. In this short bonus episode, I sit down with AJ Stivenberg to break down a recent service improvement in Lambda, proactive initialization. We talk about what it is, what it buys us, and what we need to do to take advantage of it. Ready, set, let's go. A couple weeks ago, a blog post took over the tech community talking about something called proactive initialization. The internet was buzzing with excitement around a fulfillment in the promise of serverless, where things just get better. But how does this make Lambda better? Does it eliminate cold starts? Here to discuss the fundamentals of proactive initialization is AJ Stivenberg. AJ, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Alan. Thanks for having me back. It's great to be here.
You're the first person to come back onto the show. I'm excited to have you. And since you've been on the show, not only were you promoted to staff engineer at Datadog, but you were also named a serverless hero. Congratulations, man. That's super exciting. Big year.
Hey, thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, it's been a very exciting few months since the first time I got to appear on the show.
I can't even imagine. And now I'm going to credit you with the discovery of proactive initialization. So tell us, what is it?
Yeah, proactive initialization is an emergent behavior of the AWS Lambda platform. For purposes of running distributed systems at scale, AWS Lambda will warm up your functions for you in somewhere between some and a lot of cases. So instead of experiencing a cold start when a new Lambda sandbox needs to be prepared for a request, in certain cases, that will be done for you before a request even comes into Lambda.
And how did you discover this? Because I said at the beginning, I credit you with the discovery of it. And that's not usually something that you say when we talk about an AWS feature, but it kind of feels that way with this. So tell me about that story.
Yeah, I certainly can't take any credit for doing it. I don't work for AWS or Lambda, although the team is great. And I've had a number of productive and great calls with them about this feature. This came about through the release of a feature, which we were just about to do the last time you and I spoke, which we call cold start tracing. Cold start tracing is a feature that will measure the duration of modules being loaded for interpreted languages like Node.js or Python and reflect that in the impact of your cold start. So what developers can do is look at these flame graphs, which trace the initialization time of their function and identify places where they can reduce or eliminate dependencies, which increase the latency of their cold starts. For that feature to work, we are running our tracer much earlier in the initialization process of a Lambda function than we were previously. So we had this feature, and almost right away, we started getting bug tickets that looked like there was clock skew within the Lambda runtime. So I actually sent a note into the AWS Community Builder Slack channel, and I said, has anyone ever seen this clock skew issue where it appears that the Lambda function is starting 2, 5, 10 minutes before the initial first request comes into the function? And I opened a bug ticket with the support team, and I just kept working on it for months and months and months. We learned through the process of that bug ticket that this wasn't actually a bug. There wasn't a clock skew issue. Amazon's time sync service is really, really good. So the clock is correct. And instead, what was happening is we were witnessing a proactive initialization. So I worked with a team over the course of a few months to document the causes of this behavior. And starting in late July here, we were able to publish that documentation. And I was able to share my blog post about proactive initialization.
Well, that is exciting. And I'm going to ask you pretty much the most broad, open question that I can about this. What do builders need to know about proactive initialization?
What you need to know is that you don't have to do anything. Lambda is doing this for you in so many ways. Like I said in my post, this is fulfilling the promise of serverless, which is you can focus entirely on the business logic of your application, and AWS will invest the time, the resources, and the capital to improve the performance of that underneath you, and you don't have to do anything. And I think this is a great example of that. In this case, Lambda now can warm functions up, which means that you have less users waiting on cold starts and happier customer experiences. You don't have to do anything for it. You don't have to pay for it. You don't have to turn anything on. You just get to enjoy the benefit.
So does it get rid of cold starts when something is proactively initialized? Is it as fast as a warm start?
So under the hood, this effectively is a race condition between the Lambda control plane, which is the invoker service, and the data plane, which is where the workers live that actually run your functions. So now when a request reaches the invoker plane or a new request has hit Lambda, if there's no warm sandbox, just like before, Lambda will begin creating a sandbox for that request. However, if you are experiencing this kind of a steady state or generally have a large flow of requests coming through, that means you have many other concurrent sandboxes which are processing requests at the same time. If any one of those finishes, instead of waiting for that entirely new sandbox to initialize and assigning that request to that new sandbox, the Lambda invoking plane will quickly redirect that request to the now freed sandbox, which is going to be much faster than waiting for an entire cold start. As a result, then, that warmed sandbox doesn't have any requests, but it is warm and it's kept alive. It's not like Lambda kills it right away, which means that that's proactively initialized and another request can be routed to it with no cold start penalty. So that initial request did spend a little bit of time waiting for an initialization, but by definition, it was less time, and in practice, usually significantly less time than spent waiting for an entire cold start.
Oh, I gotcha. That makes sense. Now I want to pivot for a minute and talk more or less about the why. This whole thing in general just kind of feels like magic. And I know a lot of engineers don't really like magic. So why? Is this entire thing a benefit of AWS practicing multi-tenancy with Lambda?
Yeah, absolutely. Lambda is a load-balanced multi-tenant service. So your Lambda functions and my Lambda functions, they're running in the same region or the same availability zone, which is something Lambda controls, likely are running, if not on the same host, but in the same collection of hosts. And I know it's a misnomer, but serverless does require servers. So these machines need to be rotated in and rotated out frequently. I mean, think of how many times we deploy our application every day. Lambda likely isn't deployed that frequently, but they do have to make updates to the underlying operating system. They do have hardware failures. And as Werner Vogel says, everything fails all the time. So you have these underlying hosts, which are serving this Lambda traffic, and they need to be rotated in. And if you're going to be swapping one worker for another worker that currently has, say, 100,000 running Lambda functions, instead of just swapping that worker box in entirely cold and waiting for 100,000 cold starts to happen, they can look at that machine and say, okay, we've got 100,000 running Lambda functions on here. We'll just initialize 100,000 sandboxes and then swap that machine in for it. And now you've got like a much smoother transition, a much smoother deployment than you would have previously. So yeah, in many ways, this is a result of efficiency of running a service at scale. Lambda doesn't want cold starts for managed runtimes like Node.js or Python. They don't charge for initialization. So that is CPU cycles, which are wasted and unbilled by AWS Lambda. So it's our shared interest, and I liken it to the shared responsibility model, to reduce that time for everyone. And what Lambda is doing is finding these opportunities when they know these Lambda sandboxes will be used and they can pre-invoke them or pre-warm them in a way that improves performance for everybody, including themselves.
I love it. So it's mutually beneficial for both AWS and for everybody that builds with Lambda.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I can't take credit for doing any of this. I simply discovered it and was very persistent in a bug ticket trying to understand why it was happening. But it's great. And I've been a serverless developer now for the better part of 6 years. And this is a big development that I'm really excited to see.
So would you consider this a feature of Lambda, or what do you think this is? Is this just an overall general service improvement or an optimization? How would we categorize proactive initialization? Is it something that you think we even actually need to be talking about?
It's somewhere between a feature and just a behavior of the system. I think we need to talk about it so developers understand when they're looking at the performance of their application, when they're looking at a flame graph, or they're looking at a specific trace of a function, so they're not caught off guard and they're not confused. And they don't have a whole bunch of questions about their telemetry and their observability. But I don't necessarily think we consider it a feature. And I also don't necessarily think there's even a good way for us as developers to like optimize for this. I'm a little worried that at some point we'll see blog posts or content like, here's how to maximize proactive initializations. But the reality is that they're not constant. It's a factor of the other working conditions within that Lambda fleet itself, and it's a total variable. There's probably nothing you or I can do about it. So the real answer is just to enjoy it. It's a service improvement, of course. It's not dissimilar to when EventBridge, that team was able to lower the latency of their service by a huge margin by improving the underlying architecture and the underlying systems that run it. We just get to enjoy the benefits.
Yeah, that was a good day.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, everyone watched their latency fall off a cliff. It's great work by the team, but I like calling it out because it is the promise of serverless. One of the things that we love these managed services so much for is that I'm not on call for them and I don't have to improve it and I don't have to patch those operating systems or worry about managing any of that, in this case, compute. So I get to just sit back and enjoy while these teams improve it. In this case, it's a substantial improvement.
Without a doubt. So what's the duration that you've seen of proactive initialization ahead of time? Like, what's the max amount of time that you're seeing between environment being proactively stood up and invocation of the function?
That's a great question. I think personally, I've seen like 6 or 7 minutes. I think I have a screenshot of that. I want to say I felt like I've seen maybe longer, but at this point, I've just seen so many that I'm not exactly sure if there was a standout. This is a race of how fast can your sandbox initialize versus how fast can a current warm sandbox, which is serving traffic, finish a request. And in some cases, that time can be very, very short, and you don't see any improvement for proactive initializations at all. If you have very, very, very short initialization times and very, very long request times, that sandbox, that new warm sandbox, will be ready ahead of time. So it would be ready before that request is being serviced by another sandbox. So that will be routed to the newly initialized sandbox instead of a warm one. If that's flipped, if you're running really heavy Lambda sandboxes that take a while to warm up, but then the request service time, the median service time is very low, you'll probably see a lot more of these, and then you'll probably have more data to compare. Ultimately, I just want people to have the tools to be able to see this for themselves. That's why I published the blog post and showed everyone how they can measure it.
Absolutely. So the reason I asked that question is because I've been trying to find a downside. Is there anything that we could think of negatively, potentially, with proactive initialization? And the only thing that comes to my mind is, what about the clients that we initialize in that init phase? Is there a possibility where some of those connections inside of the clients could time out and leave us with disaster when the function actually executes?
Absolutely. So there's a couple of cases where we set up connections or credentials ahead of time. Traditionally, it's very common for people who are running a Lambda function attached to a VPC to interact with a database like RDS. And in that case, if you're not using something like RDS proxy to balance the connection pool, developers will sometimes use managed concurrency to handle that. And if that's not set exactly precisely to the number of connections that are available, you could potentially like go into a thread starvation situation where you've consumed connections, but you're blocking service for something that's running. Something similar can occur if you check out or create a temporary credential that maybe is only good for 30 seconds or a short amount of time. And then there is a delay of several minutes before the invocation. So that credential, that API token you generated, might not be valid at that point. I think that's less likely to occur in practice because so much of our code revolves around handling things like refresh tokens and checking that API key is valid, or optimistically making that request and then getting back a 403 and refreshing that token and making that request again. But I do think it's something to be aware of. And I think that's part of how I got the bug ticket in the first place, was connections were timing out or more connections were being made than expected. So something to be aware of, but I don't know if you necessarily have to really worry about it, or we could even consider it a huge downside, because I do think so much of that people are already doing.
Fair enough. That's a really good point. I just bring it up just in case. I want us all to be aware. So that is about the end of the time. I wanted to keep this one short and sweet, give us the hard facts, because this is a really exciting feature that got a lot of buzz, but not a lot of buzz from the right places. So is there anything else in the last minute that you wanted to make sure that everybody knows about it?
I just want people to try this for themselves. Go out and whatever tool you're using, the tools I provided can run just straight up Lambda CloudWatch. You can try this out and see it for yourself. Datadog also tags these and you can find them for yourself in Explore. Take a look and enjoy the fact that you probably have a lot less cold certs than you think.
Exciting stuff. Well, thank you, AJ. Congratulations again on all the success this year. And thank you for your diligent hard work with educating the community on this exciting feature.
Thanks so much, Alan. Great to be here.
We'll talk to you later. That's it for this episode of the Ready, Set, Cloud podcast. Be sure to follow us wherever you listen to podcasts to stay up to date on the latest episodes. For more info on trending cloud topics, be sure to visit readysetcloud.io and sign up for the Serverless Picks of the Week newsletter. I'm Alan Helton, and we're out of here.